signs in here, one that says, like, turn off.
Okay, I think it's 4 o'clock, so we'll get started with our meeting this afternoon. My name is Steve McGill. I'm chair of the board for this year. And so we'll start off with a roll call.
Anderson?
Here.
Brecky?
Here.
McGill?
Here.
Scarlett?
Here.
Okay, and then in front of you, board, you have the agenda for today's meeting. Any additions or changes to that agenda or something you need to place on there? If not, do I hear a motion to accept the agenda?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, then we'll move on to the minutes. The minutes are before you. Take a look at those. If you find those acceptable, I'll entertain a motion to accept them as prepared.
Make a motion. Accept them.
We have a motion.
Second.
Brecky is second from Scarlett. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, motion carried. Looking at before us here, just a little bit, for those of you that are here, how we run this meeting. We open it up for a public comment ahead of time on any item that is not specifically on the agenda, and we're willing to listen to at that time. Then what we'll do is we'll move on to the items that we do have on the agenda, and we will have a period of time where we'll allow the staff to give their evaluation of the request. And then from there, then the individuals, if they're here for representation, can give theirs. And then any rebuttal will be back and forth. Then we'll close it to for any comments, and the board will debate the item and give you a decision as we're sitting here. Just one thing I would ask is, if you could hold your comments, if you've got something public to, under 10 minutes, we would appreciate it. So with that note, I believe we'll move on. Our first item is CUP 0416, Ames Golf and Country Club.
Thank you. Applicants are Chris Gardner, Bella Holmes, 506 East Street, Huxley, Iowa. Property owner, Ames Golf and Country Club, represented by Corey Strait. They're at 5752 George Washington Carver in Ames. Again, this is a conditional use permit request. It's a request for a proposed new maintenance building and a proposed new golf cart building. The golf cart, or the Ames and Golf and Country Club, the use is actually in a zoning of A1 and R2, which in the current standards, those are considered legal but non-conforming. So the actual existing uses are included with this CUP application. So the golf course is on the north side of Ames. You see the blue line that represents the corporate limits of the city. We're in Franklin Township. Along the north is West 190th Street, and along the west is George Washington Carver. It's a 154-acre parcel. It's a, again, adjacent to a Union Pacific Railroad right-of-way to the east. The city of Ames corporate limits is just to the east of that. There's also about 4 rural residential subdivisions to the west within an eighth of a mile, which includes Jameson, Northwood Heights, Squaw Valley South, and Bella Woods. It's also right across the street from the Christ Community Church, and they share an access point with the country club's access into their facility. So here's a closer view. Again, you see the main access drive into the country club. Again, it's at the same location where the church's access is. North of that is an existing access, which is used for the maintenance building, which will be removed due to the Irons, which is a residential subdivision, which was recently approved by the city of Ames and by the Board of Supervisors. It's actually in the Ames Urban Fringe Plan. But the reason for the removal is because that's going to be where the two-family homes are going to be located. And we've got a diagram to show you that. To the east of the parking area is the clubhouse, and then to the southwest is where the swimming pool and tennis courts are located. Here's kind of a schematic drawing prepared by the Civil Design Advantage, which is the engineering firm that worked on the Irons subdivision. Again, you've got the main access going in. They're proposing a road or a street that would extend to the two-family homes, and then to the south is would be a separate drive for two-family homes. To the south of that would be single-family lots. There's like 14 lots. They're proposing to extend the road east of Cameron School Road, which will eventually hook up to Sting Road to the south. So again, the reason for the need to relocate that is because of the housing that is proposed with the Irons development. Aerial again shows you location for the two-family homes, the single-family to the south of that. There's also three lots for three single-family homes to the north. It would be in this location where the treat area is, and then over here. There's two lots here, one here. The location that's proposed for the maintenance building is between the two treat areas, and the location for the proposed golf cart building would be to the east of the clubhouse. Again, right now, the maintenance building houses the golf carts and the maintenance equipment that they use to maintain the golf course. So they did look at some options. They looked at, you know, placing the new buildings close to the clubhouse. The primary reason for separating the maintenance building from the other buildings has to do with the operational efficiencies and for safety. They want to make sure that they're keeping the equipment, the maneuvering of that equipment, away from the movement of kids and people that might be using the outdoor activity areas, as well as the clubhouse. They also looked at an area northeast, the northeast portion of the site, for the maintenance building. But due to the proximity of the railroad right-of-way and the crossing there, that one was abandoned. So the preferred choice is, again, the north portion between the two treat areas for that maintenance building. This is the Ames Urban Fringe Land Use Framework map. Again, that's an agreement with the city of Gilbert, Ames, and Story County. It's primarily being showed to show you the watershed protection area. The existing building appears to be like partially in, partially out of this watershed protection area. Proposed buildings would be inside the watershed protection area. Staff is proposing a condition that the applicant's engineer prepare a site plan, which they are working on, to address any concerns with stormwater for this protection area, and in addition to the Iowa Stormwater Management Manual and erosion control provisions that are identified in the county's standards. So history, the golf course was a permitted use back in the 1970s, permitted by zoning. Permits were issued for the clubhouse and the maintenance building in September of 73. And then in October of 06, the portion along the west area and the north, and we've got a map to show you what that looks like. It was rezoned to R2 to allow this single family and two family homes. And again, that's about a 55-acre area. So it represents this orange area that you see. Width-wise, it's about 600 feet in width along the west, and then the north, 300 feet. And again, that's the R2 zoned area, and then everything else, which primarily includes the golf course, is A1 zoned. So this is a topography map. Every line that you see represents a change in the grade. This would be the proposed location for the maintenance building, and it just generally shows that the drainage would fall to the south and to the east. This is a conceptual site plan sketch. They're showing the proposed access, which would be gravel, a proposed paved surface, There would be an overhead door on the east wall of this proposed building, which is 102 long by 48 wide, and then an overhead door on the south side. There would be a concrete pad on the south side and then a walkway that would connect the two paved areas. They're showing four paved parking spaces. One of those would be handicap accessible. Employee-wise, they typically have two full-time employees, upwards of eight at various times throughout the season and at various times throughout the day. One of the comments that staff had and that was discussed by the Planning and Zoning Commission was the need to assure that any vehicles that enter, whether they be cars, employees' vehicles, trucks, that they maneuver and head out instead of backing out onto 190th Street. There's some concern as this area grows that vehicles be able to head out face first instead of backing out onto 190th Street. So this is a layout. Again, you've got the two overhead doors, one on the east wall, one on the south. Two office space areas, a break room, and then a restroom facility. Elevation drawings. Again, this building is proposed to be about 1,000 square feet less in size than the existing building, but similar type of building. We're into the site photos that we took. This is just off of 190th. We're looking to the south. Approximate location for that maintenance building. Looking east on 190th, again, possible access. We'll have to obtain permission, a permit from the engineering division to obtain access here. Looking north across the street, farm field. This is the topography for the golf cart building. And again, it's east of the clubhouse and generally drains to the south and east. The concept drawing, again, it's a 45 by 64. They're proposing no driveway access to this building. It's primarily going to be used by employees, no customers. And so they'll access it via the existing golf cart path that's there. And the only thing that it will store is the golf carts. It won't be used for storage like the maintenance building. And that just interior layout. Happen to be showing VW bugs, but it's to show you how many carts they can get in there, which is about 60. Elevation drawings. Site photos, again, this is the driving range. And then, again, the proposed building would be on the south side of the driving range, on the north side of those trees. Looking at the clubhouse building from the main access going in. Tennis courts to the south. Looking back out towards George Washington Carver, there's a stop condition. And then with this development, the Irons are planning to put in stop signs at either side of this existing main access where those two new streets would be installed. This is the location for the two-family dwellings on the north side of that main access. This is the existing maintenance building that will be removed. It's another view of that building. Looking back at the golf course, again, this is where the single-family homes would be proposed. And then looking to the south, this is looking south down George Washington Carver. Looking westward towards Cameron School Road. North again, you see the church. We're into the staff report compatibility with regard to the maintenance building. Again, the design will be similar to the existing building. Again, the primary reason for this is to improve the operational efficiencies and safety of the use of the maintenance building and the golf cart building and the operation that occurs on the property. Golf cart building will be east of the clubhouse, will likely not be seen. And then again, there's no plans for improvements for the clubhouse structurally or for the tennis court or the swimming pool. Transition. Building will meet the 30-foot front yard setback requirement. It will be located between the treed areas. Again, golf court building will be about 1,100 feet from the right-of-way of George Washington Carver. Excuse me. Maintenance building. Traffic, we're going to see some increase in traffic. But again, we've got less than 10 employees. The good thing is there'll probably be less traffic along George Washington Carver because that access is going to go away. And again, that's where they take all their deliveries right now. And then the access for the maintenance building will be about 1,000 feet from the two dwellings to the east, which are on the north side of 190th, and then 500 feet from the dwelling to the west. No additional traffic, really, other than deliveries and pickups for the carts. Parking loading, again, we showed you about four spaces is what they're planning. One of those is handicap accessible. No parking lot is planned for the golf cart building and no drives. It's going to be accessed via the existing path. And it'll be used only by the employees of the golf course. Lighting is going to be limited to just wall lighting, wall pack lighting for both buildings. They will need to get a E911 address. Environmental protection, that was an issue raised by staff that these applicants hire an engineer to work on a site plan to address stormwater management, erosion control, and then the watershed issue. Comments, we did route to all the departments within the county, and with the assessors, they said the comment they gave us was the old building would be removed and the new one would be assessed based on the size and the improvements in the building. Engineering said they would need a permit for the access, and then they would need to meet the 300-foot separation between access points, which they can do that. Environmental health commented on the needs for the septic systems. Planning staff, we did comment, asked about again, the location of the buildings, you know, why the locations were chosen. Again, if it's over 10 parking spaces, there's a landscape requirement, but they won't have that many spaces, so that's not a requirement. There is a impervious requirement for landscaping. 20% of the impervious surface of the buildings and the parking area needs to be landscaped, and they are showing and indicated that they will meet that landscape requirement. Comments from the general public. We did send notices to property owners within a quarter of a mile on July 28th before the P&Z meeting, and then August 5th before the Board of Adjustment meeting. Received no verbal, but we did receive an email from an adjacent landowner on the north side of 190th. Said that he supported the golf course and the projects. However, wanted to make sure that the landscaping was consistent with the materials, the existing materials in the area, and that the lighting would be at a minimum. And again, that's what they're proposing to do. P&Z comments, just questions about the being able to turn around, having trucks turn around, and head face out for the most part. They had questions about deliveries, whether or not the golf cart building would take on deliveries, and they're not going to use it for storage, so they wouldn't be. Which brings us to the recommendation of P&Z, which is to approve with these conditions. The first one is lighting for the maintenance and golf cart building shall meet Story County requirements and shall be the minimum amount necessary to provide lighting for overhead doors, walkways, and entrances. Interior spaces for motorized equipment for either building shall be paved to protect undesirable spills that may be carried by stormwater. Excuse me, do you want to finish reading
that? Oh, sure. The Ames Golf and Country Club shall submit a professionally drawn site development plan from a licensed architect and engineer for both of the buildings, the parking lot, and shall meet Iowa Stormwater Management Manual erosion control requirements for the items identified from 1 and 2 above. So the Planning and Zoning Commission recommended alternative two below, and that's with the conditions that we just read.
Happy to answer your questions.
Questions, board? None? Anyone here to speak for Ames Golf and Country?
Yes, please.
Sorry.
Chris Gardner, Bella Holmes, the applicant for Ames Golf Country Club. So Corey's here with Ames Country Club too. So if you guys have any questions, please let us know. I think most of it was addressed in the thorough report. So
any questions, board? Okay, thank you.
That's not. Yep.
Yeah, that's good. Right.
I think so.
I guess we'll close it and. Any questions? Discussion? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that the Surrey County Board of Adjustment recommend approval of the conditional use permit as put forth in case CUP 0416 with the conditions recommended by the Surrey County Planning and Zoning Commission.
I have a motion by Scarlett. Do I hear a second?
Second.
We have a second. All in favor, roll call vote.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Brecky?
Aye.
McKay?
Aye. There you go. Very good.
Thank you, Kathy.
All right.
Have fun.
Thank you. We'll see you. Okay, next one on our agenda is VAR 01-16, Skeleton Variance Request.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Emily. Oh, and I opened the wrong PowerPoint. I'm sorry. Thanks. No, that's yours.
How did you get that there?
I don't know. I'm sorry, guys. Technical difficulty.
Not a problem.
There we go. Slideshow from the beginning. Okay. So, we have the skeleton variance, case number VAR 01-16, located at 54334 543rd Avenue in Ames. And the applicant is Brian Skelton, and he lives at that address as well. So, the nature of the request is a variance to table 86.07, parent 5. Of the Story County Land Development Regulations, which establishes the required setbacks for R1 transitional residential zoned districts. The applicant requests to construct a 30-foot by 24-foot two-stall attached garage to the northwestern side of the existing dwelling. The proposed garage would be set back 10 feet from the front property line and 3 feet from the side property line, which would require a variance of 30 feet from the required 40-foot front setback and a variance of 7 feet from the required 10-foot side setback as established in Table 86.07, Parent 5. So it's in Franklin Township. The applicant's property is in the tiny red square, northeast of Ames. This is the vicinity land use. You can see this is Ada Hayden over here. The City of Ames boundary is along Highway 69 right here. And the applicant's property is in Coy's subdivision, and it's right here. And you can see this area is largely platted residential lots. Here's the South Skunk River, Arrowsmith Trail Road, and 190th is up here. Adjacent properties to the Skelton property. Again, it's located in Coy's subdivision. There are 4 platted lots in the subdivision. There are 3 confirmed single-family dwellings in the subdivision. The owner of Lot 2 in the subdivision actually applied for a variance to construct a garage last year, but was denied because there were no unique circumstances allowing him to precluding him from constructing a garage in another location on the property. The subdivision, one of the homes in the subdivision is actually fronted on Arrowsmith Trail. So again, here is the Skelton property. This property faces towards Arrowsmith Trail, so the rear faces the Skelton property. In the other single-family dwellings in the subdivision, they do not directly face the Skelton property. And there's also a decent amount of screening from trees, which you'll be able to see in the site photos here soon. And it's also outside of the Coy subdivision. There are five other parcels with single-family dwellings that are also adjacent to the Skelton property. These are, however, fronted on Skycrest Drive. So again, they don't directly face the Skelton property. Here are the site photos. Right here, we're looking southwest from 543rd Avenue, and this is the drive of the Skelton property. We're looking northwest now from 543rd Avenue, just north of the Skelton property, onto the neighbor's property. You can see that they have a larger accessory structure. This is facing north on 543rd Avenue onto a neighboring property. And this is looking northeast, and we're actually on the Skelton property right here. And you can again see an adjacent property with a single-family dwelling and an accessory structure.
And those are behind the houses, those accessory buildings.
You talking about this one here?
That one and the other, the next.
Because they face the other street.
Right.
Yeah, they face the street to the east.
They're fronted on Skycrest.
The buildings are or the houses are?
The houses are.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So they're behind, they're to the west.
Right.
All right.
So this is the Skelton property up close. The existing dwelling was built in 1968. At that time, the living area was 812 square feet with a 396 square foot attached garage. You can see this is a contour map. It's a very steep slope here in the southern three quarters of the property. So the house is built as far north as possible while still meeting setbacks. The house is also oriented to be square with the road, and that's how the front lot line was also established. So it's oriented on an angle because of the angle of the road right there and the lot line. So due to the location of the home in the northern quarter of the lot, as well as its orientation to the road, it's already meeting the required 40-foot setback. It's at the required 40-foot front setback, and it's also on the east side at the 10-foot setback from the side property line. There is also a 10-foot utility easement on the east side of the lot.
So where are exactly the borders on there? Maybe I can't see.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, let's go back one. Sorry. Is this easier to see?
The blue represents the...
The blue or the lot line?
The blue.
Yes.
Yeah, the blue.
And the front of the house faces
this
to
way.
The north and west.
To the north, west.
North and west.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Yes. So Brian and Sally Skelton purchased the dwelling in 2013, and they converted the existing garage area into a 396 additional living area. This was due to the fact that the dwelling's original configuration had the basement stairs, the only staircase to the basement, located in the garage. And you could not park a vehicle in the garage and also access the staircase. So, additionally, because of the location of the home, any proposed extension of the garage out to the north would have required a variance because it's already at that 40-foot required setback for the district. So this is from Beacon. It's a rough outline of the home. So you can see here's the property owner approximated the location of the stairs. This was the existing garage area, and this is the living area. And this is where the proposed garage would be located. This is the kitchen, and there's several bedrooms over here as well. But now this former garage is a living area because you couldn't use it as a garage and access the basement due to the location of the stairs here. So So here's the Skelton property. We're looking south onto the property from 543rd. We're looking east across the rear yard. You can see the drop-off here from the back of the home. Now we're looking north towards 543rd Avenue, and we're on the east side yard, northeast of the home. So you can see this is a car parked on 543rd. It's quite the slope up.
This is on the west side?
East side of the house.
Looking northward.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to go back to that, Randy?
Well, I'm just looking at it on my phone. I thought that was the west side. Because we're in the backyard, or is that?
Yeah, we're looking to the north, and the house is to the left of this.
Right, the house is over here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the neighbor's house.
Not their house.
All right.
So again, the proposed location of the garage is on the northwestern side of the house. It's the only location that would allow access into a kitchen or dining room, living room area. The other side of the house is where the bedrooms are located. So that would be an unconventional access point for the garage. However, there isn't space large enough on that side to also provide setbacks, so it has to be on the northwestern front side of the house. The proposed 720-square-foot garage, it represents an area that's approximately 51% of the footprint of the dwelling, and this is pretty typical of other garages in the area. In the Coy subdivision, there was one garage that was approximately 45% of the footprint of the dwelling, and there was one that was approximately 63% of the footprint of the dwelling. So that would be an average ratio of garage footprint to dwelling footprint of 54%, and the proposed garage is less than that. So it conforms with the character of the area. There will also be two overhead doors on the garage that you'll see here in just a second, and those will actually be oriented kind of northeast. So the access to the home will have to be reoriented and curved around to get into the garage. But this will actually be a benefit, as then cars that are not parked in the garage will not have to be parked in the right-of-way. There will be room to park in that driveway. So here's a drawing of the proposed garage looking south towards the home. So you can see, if you're looking south, you wouldn't see the doors. It would look like this. And so the garage is actually facing more northwest. So here's the proposed garage site. You can see the 10-foot front setback here, 3 foot over here. And there's the garage doors. I approximated their location on this western side. Eastern side. So legal principles in terms of approving a variance request. There are several requirements that a variance request should meet. The first is a finding of a necessary hardship. This is determined with three standards. The land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if only used for a purpose allowed in that zone. The plight of the owner is due to unique circumstances and not general conditions in the neighborhood. And the use to be authorized by the variance will not alter the essential character of the locality. Story County Development Regulations also require that the granting of the variance is not contrary to the public interest and meets the intent of the development plan and development regulations. So in staff's analysis, we determined that in the first condition of the finding of a necessary hardship, which is that the land in question cannot yield a reasonable rate of return, that when the applicant purchased the property, there was an attached garage to the dwelling. However, you could not fully use the dwelling and the garage in their configuration at the time of purchase. And since the dwelling originally included the attached garage, full use and a full reasonable rate of return would require both use of a dwelling and a garage. The finding of a necessary hardship, too, is that the plight of the owner is due to unique circumstances and not the general conditions in the neighborhood. And the unique circumstances in this case would be the front lot line's orientation and thus the home's orientation to 543rd Avenue, as well as that steep slope in the backyard. Environmental Health also commented that the only location for the septic system was in the backyard, so that also precludes development to the south of the home on the backside of the home. The third part of finding of a necessary hardship is that it will not alter the essential character of the locality. Staff found that the lack of a garage is actually an unconformity with the character of the neighborhood. Two of the other dwellings in the subdivision has garages, one of which is attached, and of the adjacent properties all have garages as well that are not in Coy's subdivision. And again, the ratio or the ratio of garage footprint to dwelling footprint is within the ratio of other dwellings within Coy's subdivision. Granting the variance will not be contrary to the public interest. Staff found that both the Story County Comprehensive Plan and Story County Land Development Regulations show that the intent of their ordinances and of the plan are to provide a transitional residential district that is in between a rural and urban density, and also to protect more rural areas from further development. So in allowing this variance for the construction of a garage, it would better meet future housing demand and meet these end goals of promoting a district in between that rural and urban density, as well as protecting from further development in rural areas. So again, the spirit and intent of the Story County Development Plan and Story County Development Regulations are protected is the final point that needs to be met, and this has a similar staff finding that to provide both the plan and development regulations want to provide for and support a residential transitional district to prevent further sprawl into agricultural areas, and in granting this variance, it would further those goals, as the existing single family dwelling would be updated and future demand for housing would be better met in the county as a result. Comments from the general public. We mailed notification letters. As of making this PowerPoint, no comments were received. However, I received one today from an adjacent property owner. He just wanted to clarify what the variance was for, and after going over that, he determined that they should have a garage, and he supported the proposal. Comments from the interagency review team. The main comment, again, that we received was from Environmental Health, and it was on the need to put the septic in the back of the home, and so you can't build on top of a septic system, which, again, limits where a garage could be located. So our recommendation is based on several points. The dwelling, again, was constructed in 1968 in the northern quarter of the parcel to avoid the steep slope. It was also constructed with an attached garage with that only staircase into the dwelling. The Skeltons did not construct it in this orientation or choose to put the staircase there. This was the previous owner's decision. The Skeltons purchased the dwelling in 2013 and had to convert the garage into living space, as its use as a garage was precluded by the use of the basement and need to use the basement as well. Due to the orientation and location of the home, the garage cannot be located in another area within the required setbacks. And again, even an expansion of that previous garage when it was attached to the home, that would have also required a variance because the house's orientation puts it exactly at 40 feet from the front lot line, which is what is required in their district. And finally, having an attached garage is consistent with adjacent properties and consistent with the character of the zoning district and neighborhood. So based on these points, we recommend approval of alternative one. Any questions?
Questions for staff?
So what, do you have a question?
Yeah.
What was the observation for not putting it in the northeast?
Yes.
I mean, it looks like.
So the northeast corner is already at a 10-foot side setback.
Okay, there's a 40-foot front yard setback in this district, and so it wouldn't meet. to put it on the east side, that's where the bedrooms are.
Right.
One. And then two, you have to have, the building would have to be 10 feet from the east property line. So even if they did put it there, it would still...
And there's a utility easement there, so you can't build within 10 feet of that side property line on top of that easement.
So can you show a picture again of what the house looks like and then what it would look like with the garage?
Yes. So this is the house currently.
And you want to put the garage to the front by those two garage doors?
Right. Except that...
This kind of shows...
This isn't a drawing submitted by the applicant. So the garage access doors would then be oriented to the east instead of facing north. And here's the garage doors on the eastern side then.
And where are they?
The garage doors?
Sorry.
They'd be on the right, on this side there.
Oh, so that's going to, that red bump out. Okay.
Yes,
right
bump
here
out.
And the garage doors will be where the red dot is.
The red bump
on
out.
On the side.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, on the east side.
And cut it close. Yeah. Okay.
So is this the end of that 543rd? I mean, is that kind of at the end
close
of the road there?
Yeah.
Close to the end, yes.
Yeah.
When we invite the skeletons up, I assume that any comments that you want to make regarding this, come to the podium or state your name and address.
Yep, my name is Brian Skelton at 543rd Avenue. When we moved in, as I said, the staircase was in the garage. And the only way to get to the basement was to walk out into the garage and down the stairs. We didn't choose to construct it that way, and there really was no other way to move the staircase inside the house. So we chose to make the staircase part of the house, and then with the hopes to actually build a garage in the future. Now, you were asking about the east side of it. There's actually windows to the second, or to the basement on that side also. So even if you could build there with that, we would have to fill an awful lot of land in there just to bring it up high enough to actually build a garage there. That was one of the pictures they did show when they were looking to the north at the neighbor's shed. Yep, that one right there. If you were to take about 10 steps forward, you'd fall about 4 feet. And that's where that garage would have to go on that side of the house, which is why we've asked to build it in the location we have. There really was not any other good spot for it.
I think I just missed, what was it that engineering was saying about the septic system, and is anything affected by that?
No. So the Environmental Health Department stated that the septic system had to be located in the rear yard of the house, and you can't build on top of a septic system. So the front yard is a better location for the garage in terms of where the septic system is located.
Okay.
Any other questions?
So the 30 foot is out northwest then, and the 24 is the depth?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's there.
Yeah, 30 foot out, 24.
This is 30 feet, and this is 24.
So then the new setback is 10 feet from the front, the road in the front, and 3 feet from the side, with the 10 feet utility.
Utility easement's over here.
On the east side.
Oh, it's on that side. Okay.
And the good thing about having the garage doors on the east side, too, is that if they're not inside the garage, they can still be located on their property and not...
The parking in the right of way.
Yeah.
So whether it's a 10-foot setback from the 543rd... or like 15, that's somewhat irrelevant, I'm assuming, from your point of view?
Yeah, I mean, they're requesting to build the 30 by 24. If it were less than the 30 out, it would still require a variance.
And we thought about it, and it is within the range of that ratio of garages to dwellings within the neighborhood. So it's not oversized for the subdivision. No.
This is a great size for a garage.
I prefer my little wire, but then they're cool.
Yeah. Well, 24 by 24 when I was building was just standard, you know. But anymore,
yeah, you can't get a lot of things.
That's a large garage for a lot of these homes, you know, a 24 by 24.
Mm-hmm. Well, that. What you can't see on there, there's actually a stoop in the front that actually covers the former well. And so that comes out from the house 4 feet to start with. And to give us the opportunity to not run into that is why we sized it at 30 foot. So we had room to actually get by that.
So you got room for a workbench.
Well, hopefully, yes.
Or the motorcycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Any further questions? Thank you. That will close and deliberate. Any discussion? Well, I'll entertain a motion.
It's my turn? Okay. I move that we approve the skeleton variance request as put forth in case VAR 0116 for a variance of 30 feet from the front setback and a variance of 7 feet from the side west setback to allow for the construction of an attached 30-foot by 24-foot garage.
I'll second.
I have a motion on Scarlett, a second on Brecky. Roll call vote, please.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Brecky?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
There you go. Good luck.
Thanks.
Don't tell my husband I approved the garage that big.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other business needs to come before the board?
Are these our dates for?
I have something for staff when you get to that.
Oh. Okay. Well, board staff now.
Yeah, what you have before you is the 2016 meeting schedule, and this is for development permit applications that we get, whether it be variances, conditional uses, subdivision plats. And what we're trying to do is streamline the submittal process so that if somebody's submitting something that requires a conceptual review, which is really what we're trying to address here, that we can shorten the time period. Because if you look at what we highlighted, if it's a conditional use permit, there's a submittal of a July 20th for a meeting July 28th. And again, conceptual review is a meeting of the departments within the building here. They submit the application, their materials, and have a sit down with staff to discuss their project. The departments attend and provide input, questions, comments with regard to what's being requested. But it only happens once a month, the way it is right now. So if they make the submittal July 20th, they have the meeting the following week, which is the 28th. If it goes to P&Z, there's a separate submittal for the application August 24 to be heard, because again, P&Z meets once a month, as does the Board of Adjustment. So the P&Z would address it on September 7, and then it would go before the Board of Adjustment on the 21st. So it almost would be like a two-month process. So what we're trying to do is streamline the conceptual review, try to offer that every week. And so the idea is that if we get a conceptual review application in, like before Tuesday noon, it can be heard that week, following Thursday. If it's after Tuesday noon, then it would be the next Thursday. And it just helps for us to process these applications quicker, so people aren't having to wait so long to get a decision.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're trying to do. We wanted to give you guys a heads up that this is something that we're working on. I don't know that it requires a motion. We certainly could provide a motion if you'd like. Again, we're not proposing any changes to the dates for Board of Adjustment or the Planning and Zoning Commission, just changes to the conceptual review. We want to let you know.
I'm not sure we need any kind of a motion or anything. It's more administrative on your end of it, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
We just want to know what we're doing, and we do post this, or we didn't want you to hear about it on the streets or see things on the county's website and not hear about it first here.
No, we appreciate that.
So, anyway, that's what we're working on.
Good. Anything else?
That's all that I have.
Okay.
I like the way you're highlighting the best option.
Does that help?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I was not feeling a lot of sympathy for the man who bought the house with the garage and the steps in the garage. It was there.
I wasn't either until I saw how that thing fell off in the back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then if you looked at the fact that the septic system's back there, mm-hmm. I was going to ask on that, does that drop off? I'm not that familiar with the back there. Does that drop off to a creek?
There is a creek back there.
The South Skunk River is about half a mile south of there.
So I wondered, with the septic system back in there, if they have any problems.
Yeah.
Is that a floodplain?
No.
But is it a walkout basement?
Not quite, I don't think. But it could be.
Yeah.
It's a 16% slope just in the 30 feet south of the house.
Wow.
So I think there's a deck back there, and it starts 3 feet above the ground, and I think they said it goes to like...
Yeah, you can see that deck on the back side of that house.
It's a huge drop-off.
And you said that a neighbor was not granted a variance?
And they don't have the same slope.
Okay.
It was just, they could have put it anywhere. They just thought the easiest place would be to put it within the setback.
Okay.
Well, my saving grace was the fact that it's not on a thoroughfare.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I would want a 30 by 24 garage setting up by George Washington Carver.
Right.
But this looks like it's kind of at the end of that little...
Yeah, it is.
It's kind of four people or half a dozen homes. And
it didn't appear that it would hinder any visibility of anything, because that was also one of my concerns.
It does help get cars out of the right-of-way if they had more than...
If those doors were going to be on the north side,
we
were going to try to work some type of compromise or something else.
Yeah.
Flat out deny it, but that would be a good situation.
Okay.
Yay.
So moved.
For your second.
My second.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
Your turn.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Jimmy.
I've got cold beer.
That's what my wife would say.
Yeah.
How'd your tractor do it fair?